right, that was Mr. Chad Van Galen from Calgary, Alberta. That's where I was last week. Calgary, Alberta, on a bit of a sabbatical. Drank a lot of beer, did a lot of barbecue. But I'm back. You're tuning in to the Barn Burner on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I am your host for the next hour, the one, the only Bobby the Badger Ferris, bringing you the greasier side of rock and roll, rhythm and blues and country. We may or may not have Brian Venables, the lead guitarist from Lucero, phone in today. They are doing Warped Tour in Omaha, Nebraska. So their tour guy said that he might be able to phone in. If he can't, we're probably going to do a pre-record for next Thursday. That show, of course, is at the Biltmore on August 16th. So if you haven't bought your tickets, make sure you do so. All right, let's start things off today from a classic little rocker from 1958. This is Little Pig from Dale Hawkins. It's good to be back, Vancouver. Let's get her done.
Wait and see. Well, look, little pig, you belong to me. Oh, I'm a chin, chin, chin. I'm the wolf and I'm on the come in. Oh, oh, I'm a chin, chin, chin. Well, I'm the wolf and I'm on the come in. Well, I huff and I puff and I huff and I puff and I blow your house in. Yes, I huff and I puff and I huff and I puff and I blow your house in.
Too. Give me another first take, boys, for my life is over. Here we go.
No. electric prunes for Vox, bringing you the exciting new sound of the Vox Wah-Wah pedal. Let the electric prunes demonstrate the difference. Play it prunes first without the Wah-Wah pedal. Now, listen to the difference when you push that Vox Wah-Wah pedal down. You can even make your guitar sound like a sitar. It's the now sound. It's what's happening. That's why the Electric Prunes, Animals, Herman's Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Stones, the Seeds are all using the Vox Wah-Wah pedal, and it works with any amplifier. If you're a professional musician or want to sound like one, get with the new Vox Wah-Wah pedal at your Vox dealer now.
As demonstrated on Rumbletone Radio Agogo, third Wednesdays from 3 till 5 p.m. here on CITR.
Well, don't you stop wasting time. Come back down the line. I'm right where you left me before. I can't say I've been behaved. You'd not believe me anyways. There's been no
Come on now, darling.
That was Memphis, Tennessee's Lucero with Darken My Door from their latest 1372 Overton Park. And before that, we had Neil Young and his International Harvesters featuring Spooner Oldham. This album is known as A Treasure, and it features tracks from Neil's tour with this band between 1984 and 1985. You should pick it up. It's really quite good. He does some work that he did. He worked some stuff from Buffalo Springfield and a lot of stuff that, you know, he did throughout his career. This was basically just after the Everybody's Rockin', I guess, era of Neil Young. And, it's part of the vault that Neil Young has been opening in the last couple of years. And, I think it's definitely worth your time. If you're a big Neil Young fan or a fan of, Spooner Oldham or Southern Fried Rock and Roll or Country in its entirety, you should definitely pick this album up. And to lead off before that, we had one from the Drive-By Truckers, Uncle Frank, which is actually from their Greatest Hits collection titled Ugly Buildings, Horrors and Politicians, the Greatest Hits from 1998 to 2009. Now, I have most of the tracks. Actually, I have all the tracks because I own all their albums. But if you want a good cross-section of Drive-By Trucker tunes and you're a little new to that band, you should definitely pick it up. It should be in stores next Tuesday. Next up, we've got a band that used to be called The Broken West. They are now called Apex Manor. The name of the album is Magical Year of Drinking. I like it. And the name of this track is called Teenage Blood. Stay tuned. We may still be having an interview with Brian Venables from Lucero. If not this week, then next. But let's keep with the tunes, shall we?
cold walk, waiting to do an interview. Playing in the string.
That was the Buffalo Killers from their new album, 3. The name of that track is Mountain Sally. And guess what? We've got the lead guitarist for Memphis' own Lucero with us today, Mr. Brian Venables. Brian, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How is your Omaha, Nebraska Warped Tour experience going so far?
Well, it's raining its butt off. It might tornado a little bit, but otherwise it's pretty awesome.
that's not bad. Make sure that if you see those funnel clouds, you head for a doorway or at least underground or something like that.
Yeah, no, we're not going to get too redneck. We're going to all get off the bus and then get under shelter somewhere.
Okay, that's good.
You know, you've got to be the first to go.
Yeah, every man for himself. As soon as the bad weather hits, hey.
Yeah, it's not so bad. It might blow through, but. It's looking pretty gnarly,
but
it's just all part of it, I guess. We played at 1:30, so
okay,
I got nothing else to do but wait for a tornado to come entertain me.
Just, yeah, everybody get out the old lawn chairs and watch the fireworks, right?
I mean, we kind of are under our tent until it gets bad.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hopefully when you guys come up to Vancouver, you're going to get some nice weather. It seems it was really nice here. It was about, 30 degrees. I'm not very good with Fahrenheit, but I'm sure that's over 100 there anyway. So.
Yeah, now it's been averaging about 110 except for a couple. We got up in towards San Francisco, and it got real nice at night. But
oh, that's good.
Of course, the whole East Coast had a heat wave while we were there, and then there's just Florida and the South in August. And
when you're doing those outdoor festivals, would you rather be playing in the crazy heat or pouring rain? What would you rather be playing in?
Man, that's a tough one. If it's a pouring rain, well, they wouldn't let us play in actual rain, but if it was raining in front of the stage, but it was a nice temperature outside, I'd have to go with that.
Yeah, definitely.
But it would suck for the crowd. I think at that point, it's every man for themselves.
Totally. What you guys have played Vancouver a couple times, actually, in the past couple years, once with Black Joe Lewis and once you brought Drag the River. I get a feeling that you guys like playing Vancouver.
Man, my tour manager, last time we played, he couldn't be laughing at me because it's over 13 years.
Yeah.
I'm not even selling you on this. It might have been the best show I don't know how well it sounded, how good it sounded, but it was just, there were people on stage. I was off the stage. I was playing in the crowd. Like, I'm a punk rock kid.
Yeah. No, it's
nice about playing on a big stage with, you know, the people, and you're all like, oh, look, I'm a rock star.
Definitely.
There's something more amazing about just getting in the thick of it, and it's that low sung little ceiling and all those people just crowding and singing along and everybody getting sweaty together.
Yeah, we really, that venue that you guys played, the Biltmore, it's a great place to play. We've had you guys, you know, the Drive By Truckers have played there. You know, it's been a great time. Jay Roddy Walston was up here not too long ago. It's a great little venue. It's large, but the low ceilings give you a real kind of sense of community when you're up there playing.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't know. My poor old keyboard player, he can't move like I can, so he feels stuck. Because I'm getting off stage going, this is the greatest thing ever. And he's just like, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for him, but it'll all work out.
You know, Brian, you guys, there was a great documentary made about you in 2005 called Dreaming in America, about basically your trials and tribulations of a heavily touring band. You guys are still touring tons, but tell me, what's changed for you guys the most since 2005?
Really? I mean, we might not be doing as many days, but we're still pretty much killing it. I got a family.
Yeah.
I got a wife and two stepdaughters and a 3-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's a little bit more, I don't know, lack of a better term, it's more, you know, that movie made it seem real business-like to some degree, you know, like you start a band, but really you're starting a small business, you're struggling.
Yeah.
And now it's more, we got to make it count.
Right.
I'm going to be gone 200 days a year and not seeing my family.
Yeah, so
I can't come home and go to my second job, or, you know, it's like you make a couple of sacrifices to play with some people you maybe wouldn't, or...
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Oh, totally.
So, it's just... Really, we're doing the same thing. Ben bought a house. I bought a house. I think we're just a little older.
Yeah.
A little bit more worse for the wear. But yeah, otherwise, we're still making, you know, music that we love to make. We just signed ATO Records. So
yeah.
We'll have a new label experience. Hopefully, it'll be a... really positive one.
Well, speaking of, you know, and that's the thing, speaking of the music you love to make, one thing that I've always been, I admire about Lucero quite a bit, is that you guys seem to have fans from, you know, skate and BMX kids all the way to, like, hardcore honky-tonkers and everything in between, you know?
Yeah, and it's awesome. It's, you know, it's a marketing nightmare, but who cares? It's right there. I mean, that's what's so awesome. You got good songs, you have, you know, people having fun playing music, it's going to translate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that used to be the jokes was, you know, punk rockers get sad too,
yeah.
You know, cowboys get angry.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, everybody likes to dance and everybody likes to cry.
Totally. The gambit of human emotion, basically, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's the thing is, one of the older we get, the more influences we pull. We're not scared to, you know, when you start a band or you're in a certain peer group, you're all like, I'm starting this kind of band, and I listen to this kind of music, and now we're pretty much, you know, like, F it, we're gonna, you know, I love Tom Petty, The Clash, and, you know, Merle Haggard, kind of, you know, and we're gonna bring in our classic rock, we're gonna bring in whatever we want, but it's still gonna be Lucero, and I think for the people, they still, They love to hear it.
They certainly do, definitely judging by your Vancouver shows. You know, speaking of your influences, you know, obviously The Replacements being one of them, Jim Dickinson passing last year was very sad. And, you know, Pleased to Meet Me, one of those just seminal kind of albums. What was it like, you know, kind of, I guess, recording under his tutelage, or even just, you know, getting to cut a record that he was involved with?
It was awesome. I'm personally very lucky because he kind of was my champion. A lot of people don't think I play guitar very well. You know, I mean, Lucero's the first band. I never played guitar before Lucero. Literally grew up playing guitar in Lucero, you know, as a musician. But, I think he thought I was like found art or outsider art, you know.
Yeah.
We'd go in there to make that record, and he was one of those producers. He's like, you got your sound. I want to catch you, because that was the first record that came, we recorded, and it came out soon enough to still sound like us.
Right, yeah.
All the earlier records, you know, we would record it and have to wait a year for somebody to find somebody to put it out, and we'd already kind of grown stylistically.
So
but
it was
he just wanted us for what you saw on stage is what you got on record. He wouldn't even play piano or anything.
Right. And so, I mean, that one literally was the first one that at that time period of the band was the one that equated live. Like, that's the one where, you know, that's kind of where you were at, right?
Yeah, well, that's a lot of people love that record. A lot of people, you know, we got a whole lot of, it sounds like unfinished demos because there wasn't any, you know, slide guitar or any piano here or there. Because if you listen to Tennessee, you know, we were putting all kinds of stuff on Tennessee. There was even a little bit of piano and Laugh Still on self-titled.
Right.
But yeah, this is the first record that it was just, he wanted to make a story of the four of us, you know, that we were the band. I had quit for that much further west. I had quit the band that year and come back.
Yeah, actually, it was funny.
And he didn't want to work with us until the original lineup again.
Great.
Because that was a joke. He'd tell stories about, you know, bring me Bob, like all the Replacement stories. He didn't want Slim Dumoulin. He's like, bring Bob. He'd be like, no, Bob's out. He's like, Carl, you know, I can do some magic with that crazy guy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. He's a fan of just the, you know, he was a fan of the absurd, of the self-taught, of the,
right,
let's just cut our nose off to spite our face and see what happens. And it's awesome, you know.
Yeah, he, I mean, obviously, I mean, he sounds like quite the character. I mean, and his Rolodex is, you know, miles and miles long. Everyone from Screaming Jay Hawkins to the Stones to Aretha, you know, it's the list goes on and on.
I mean, and he tells you stories about it. You know, he's the one that he'll go, oh, I remember Graham Parsons nodding out, you know, and just like, man, Graham Parsons died so young. Nobody, you know, you don't hear the Graham Parsons stories, but he was there.
Yeah.
You know? Or him and Screaming Jay Hawkins don't like each other, and they didn't really want to make that record together, or, you know, or they were cussing each other the whole time, and you're just like, man, I bet you that was a nightmare. But, you know, so it was fun. I grew up on it, you know, unknowingly, just growing up, discovering punk rock, but then discovering other music, roots music and Memphis music and, early Alejandro Escovedo, the True Believers, the band he was in.
He was their record.
You know, and then about the time that True Believers record came out, the Replacements record came out. So literally from 14 or 15 and through my whole life, you know, it was always this presence.
Totally.
You didn't know why or how or what about it.
Yeah.
And one day he's not just coming down to check on the barn and say, hey, you're going to work with him every day for a month.
Wow. That's something else. Yeah, on the side, too, Alejandro Escovedo is still rocking. That Street Songs of Love album is killer.
Yeah, I mean, it's real funny to just, I don't know, I remember, I never saw the True Believers, but then I was in I was in New Orleans, and he did a rock show when all he was doing was the acoustic shows, but he did this really rare apparent, you know, just with a full band, his brother or somebody, and it's, you know, this was maybe 94 or something, and, you know, you're just sitting in this room just kind of like, holy crap, I'm getting to see this. I don't know when it's going to be super important again, but I know I'm seeing something, you know, amazing. So
yeah. I got to actually, you know, you segued into it for me already, Brian, but, you know, and I was actually, this is one of the questions I was asking you today. The Much Further West album, was it just time for a break?
It was... Yeah, I mean, once again, I grew up a punk rock kid. you know, and for me, never having been in a band, but going to a show, you know, I spent my entire life, my dad took me to see music, you know, mm-hmm. as soon as I could get out of the house by myself, I was going to see big concerts at Mud Island, you know, and
yeah.
And then you discover punk rock, and it's around the corner. There's clubs around the corner from my, you know, dad's house, and spend the weekend at his house and be able to walk up and see whoever, you know.
Yeah.
And I always just envisioned it as some kind of like, it's the band is the, it's the band versus the world, you know. It's a group of pirates. It's Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, and
yeah.
And it can still be like that to some degree, but I think at the time, it was. When it became a business, I was unprepared for it to do. You know, there's music and there's the business. 2 hours a day, I don't get paid to play on stage.
Yeah.
I get paid to put up with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the 2 hours on stage is art. Mm-hmm. But it was just, my dad got real sick. That played into it. But it was just one day, we were in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was just like, man, I am not having any fun.
Yeah.
And I'm done. You know, then I did. I had to work for my dad. We owned a shoe shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, or he owns it. I worked there something. But, and I, through the whole time he was sick, I worked. And then he got better. About that time, Todd was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And it was an Against Me tour in 2004. And I wanted to play with Against Me. I was like, man, I'm going that Against Me tour. And after some, you know, begging and pleading and drinking, it was like, okay. By the fourth day out on that tour, I was like, man, I ain't doing nothing but getting drunk and riding my bicycle around. You know, I miss this, and there, I miss you. And
yeah.
But it was just, it's that growing up thing. When I came back, it was like, oh, wait a minute, you know? If we're going to pay rent and, you know, when people hurt themselves and need doctor bills, you know, just all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's this whole real world thing that you're kind of unprepared for.
Yeah.
That. Not even just the music business. I think it was just a whole growing up experience.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that was, it was just what it was. It's funny, I think it's been almost 8-9 years since that happened. So, but yeah, I think I just needed a break. Looking back on it, I was a moron. I should have figured it out. Saved it again.
Brian, 2020 hindsight, though, hey?
Yeah, I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, I'm back. I'm playing music. I know I wasn't on one record. We're making better music than ever. We're all having fun.
Well, you know, you just mentioning that, you know, you're obviously a kid weaned up punk rock and coming from a punk rock background. You know, when you guys started adding stuff like, you know, horns, you know, keyboards and stuff like that, you know, even, you know, kind of with your last show in Vancouver, that sits well with you, though? I mean, you're kind of like using that type of stuff?
Oh, with the horns and stuff?
Yeah.
The horns are awesome.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's part of... I think that was the other thing, you know, punk rock, sometimes it's over the year, anything that's gotten older, you know, some kind of fierce parameters have been set for certain things, and
mm-hmm.
it's just like, man, you look back at some of the old punk rock bands, the Big Boys, you know, they're a thrash band out of Texas in the 80s, and they quit writing thrash songs, they got a horn section, started doing party music.
Yeah.
But it's still the Big Boys, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you know, people gave us grief when we started using Rick, you know, he joined the band from
yeah.
piano. But it's like, I mean, how far back do you want to go? Rock and Piano was one of the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Haley in the Comets. Kind yeah. of, Little Richard.
You can't tell me Jerry Lee Lewis was a punk rock.
It's not what instruments you play, it's how you play it or something.
That's
you know?
I think that's exactly right, Brian.
So, and the funny thing is, you go back, all the early Alice Cooper records, you listen to Billion Dollar Babies, there's horns all over that record.
Yeah.
The Lynyrd Skynyrd, not live record, but everything else, horns all over that record.
Yep.
You know. You'd be surprised what you hear horns on.
Yeah. Yes, you would.
It's not just for ska anymore. It's for rock. It's for everything.
Exactly. Speaking of records, I guess it's been a while now since 1372 Overton Park was released. You guys got any plans to release anything soon? Or?
Oh, yeah. We're done with Warped on the 14th. We did the Northwest run in Vancouver. We fly up to Alaska. We fly home. We take about a week and a half off. And then we go straight into the studio.
That's great.
When you see us, if you come out to the show, we're playing at least 4 of the new songs.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. Could
yeah, we hopefully we'll record it September, October, November, December, around January. I think the record industry calls it the first quarter. I get real confused, but I think it's just January.
I like to stick with just the 12 months, thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been longer than usual between records. But we did take the whole spring off knowing that we were going to be on Warped Tour.
Right.
And we have a new practice space. And we practice downstairs for a week. And then we go upstairs, and there's a studio that we have a friend that owns. And we record what we lay down what we learned the week before. And then we can tweak on it, go back downstairs, work on it, write new stuff. So we spent, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. We had about 10 new songs. And, yeah, I mean, we'll still work on a few more and everything, but we're real excited with the way we're actually... We've never had this many demos this fleshed out.
Oh, that's ever. Great. Okay.
So,
well, I tell you what, Brian, I can't wait until the new record, and I can't wait until August 16th when you boys are in town. So, anyways, best of luck for the rest of your tour and recording, and we'll see you in Vancouver, buddy.
Hell yeah, I'll see y'all there.
All right, take care. All right, see ya. That was Brian Venables from Lucero. And, yeah, if you don't have your tickets yet, go and get them because what an incredible live act. Speaking of Lucero, here we go. A track from the Jim Dickinson-produced Nobody's Darlings. The name of this song is Watch It Burn. You are listening to The Barn Burner on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
About bikes. Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Are you here? Are you gone? Was I dreaming? After all, now tell me, is it too early for drinking? Was I dreaming? Was I lying? Was I just here sitting crying? Now I know you will never go away. But baby, oh baby, I'm going, yes, going crazy. Please help me make it a double, old number seven, as your new love gone away. Did you skip out on the pain? Were you hungry for the new kind of love? Was it perfect? Yes, it was. You just didn't stay because, oh, you were weary and that I might be what you need. Going crazy, please help me make it a double, old number seven. Did you happen to forget I would die if you left me? Did you cease to recall any love for me at all? Going crazy, please help me make it a double, oh number seven. Yeah, please make it a double, oh number seven.
Kids were waiting, and I guess I took a look.
My favorite Steve Earle songs, A Week of Living Dangerously, from his Exit O album. With a little giggle at the end that I love so much. Bobby the Badger here. And you're still locked into the Bar Burner for about another 7 minutes. Earlier we had Brian Venables from Lucero. Hope you enjoyed that interview. They are playing the Biltmore August 16th. I'm not sure if it's sold out, but if not, you should go get yourself a ticket. Let's see. To finish the show off, well, let's see what else is happening at the Biltmore. August 10th, we've got Minto playing. August 16th, obviously Lucero. And if you're into the rock and roll music at the Biltmore on this, I guess August 18th, we've got Obits, which have members formerly of Rocket from the Crypt and Drive Like Jehu. So yeah, if you're into the rock and roll, definitely check out the Biltmore in August. There's going to be some good stuff happening. We're going to finish the show with a track from the Flame and Sideburns from the Flame and Sideburns Save Rock and Roll album, and also from the sons of Jim Dickinson that we mentioned in the interview, Luther and Cody, who are in a band called North Mississippi All Stars, and the name of the song is "How Long Must My Which one is this called again? "How I Wish My Train Would Come." That whole album is called "Keys to the Kingdom," and it's really, really good. Hope you had a good time listening to the Barn Burner, and I will see you next Thursday from 5 till 6 p.m. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I can't wait till after hours. until it's time to go. New York City.